This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
Do you remember when we used to sing?
Sha la 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 la
la. All right, welcome back, nice. Cap and Haw. Comcast Sports at WGN Plus. Chris Ronji, the Ranger, will
coming
join us
next.
From White Sox Radio at 11:10.
Had a texter say that, boy, Haw's listening, saying the Cars should be a good workout music. Am I still listening to them on my Sony Walkman? I don't have a Sony Walkman anymore. I've upgraded to...
Your iPhone.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we've all gotten telemarketer calls.
Yes.
I got one, I don't know, 2 months ago. It's
every
like 11:30
night.
At night.
Every night.
I go, hello. He goes, you are under federal investigation. You need to speak with me right now. You're being sued. And I
by the IRS.
He didn't say that. He just said, federal investigation, you're being sued. I said, interesting. Yeah, thanks a lot. Boom, hung up the phone.
See, you hung up. You're too easy.
I gave up.
Now, you got to have some fun with this. So I had that happen to me.
Right.
And
last
night. No, it wasn't last night. It was a couple nights ago. And I'm just like, okay, I'm kind of killing, and I was in killing time. I just got done writing.
And there's a scam going around.
Yeah, there's a scam.
That
so
people,
thought, okay.
Well, tell people what the scam is.
Is they want people to give them their personal information because they're being sued by the IRS.
Right.
So obviously when you have someone's personal information, you can use it to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So you get all these sort of calls. Everyone can relate to what we're talking about. I had about a half an hour before I had to go pick up my son at hockey, and I just got done writing and eating. I'm like, all right. So I was like, so yeah, sure. Please give me more information.
Was the caller ID have a number on it?
It was like, but it was a bunch of numbers that
like
you could
gibberish.
Tell. It was gibberish. You could tell it was something. So I knew what to expect. Like, yeah, you know, I hope that you can help me out here because I really feel like I'm in jeopardy.
So you answer the phone and the guy says, hello, Mr. Haw.
Yeah, and he could tell he had a foreign accent.
And he said, you're being sued by the IRS.
Yes, it's IRS investigations. We're suing you. I'm like, oh, please tell me more because this had happened. It had left messages on our home phone before, and I knew about the scam.
Oh, this was the home phone?
Yes, my home phone. So I'm like, can you tell me more? Like, and he starts going on about this, and I'm like, okay, stop. I know this is a scam. I've talked to the Better Business Bureau. I haven't, but I told him that. I understand that what you guys are trying to do. I'm not giving you my personal information. You can stop right now. But tell me this. Why would you go to the bother of calling us three nights in a row? It was the third night in a row. And trying to do this. What are you trying to do? Because I have to tell you, I'm going to hang up this phone. I'm going to call the Better Business Bureau, and I'm going to report you. And you're not, you kind of sell it. And you think you're not getting anywhere. You're just going to feel better for telling this guy
you're an idiot.
Just leave me alone. And he goes, I'm just looking for a job. I said, where are you calling from? I'm in Pakistan. He tells me that he's in Pakistan. He's just looking for a job. His family has no money. He's doing this. He goes, you were right. I'm trying to take your money. I'm trying to take money from you because I have no money myself. I do not have a job. I have a family, and I'm trying to support my family. He went on this whole 30-second, and I let him go. He went on a 30-second explanation about how he's a Pakistani looking for work, and this is the only way that he has to make money. And he's in a room full of telemarketers who have similar plight, and they do this to try to get people from America to give them money because they are poor. I'm like, wow. This is more than I bargained for.
Yeah.
By the end of the conversation, and it was probably 3 minutes, first of all,
you gave me your social security number.
No, I did not. No, I did not.
Help yourself.
I didn't fall for it, Cap. But I felt like I had broken the telemarketer code. I was like, okay, I got through to this guy. I talked to him like a human being. Now, I don't know if he was telling me a bunch of crap to make me, feel sorry for him. But by the end of the conversation, I was like wishing him well. Like, hey, good luck with that job. He had a job interview the next day. I was like, hey, good luck with your job interview. I hope you get the job. And by the way, stop calling this number. I'm sorry. And then he apologized. I'm sorry. We connected. I connected
That's
with the telemarketer. Because sometimes you can just go on and it's inane. It's like what's going on. And I play around. If they say, you've all gotten the one, well, your computer is infected with a virus.
Yeah, I've gotten that.
And I was like, usually I'll go, and my son looks at me like I'm a total idiot. And I'm like, oh, really? It is? Oh, thank you so much for helping me out. Can you let me sit down here so I can give you my personal information and you can help me avert this disaster? And like, okay, great. I'm like, do you think I'm stupid? And I'll hang up. Because if you don't have fun with it, you just go crazy.
Well, I had the cable guy one day. Yeah, we'll come between like 12 and 6. I said, that one's not going to work for me, but why don't you just pull up to the house? I'll be home before 4 and 8. You just wait, and when I get there, I'll get there. And he goes, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good. That is pretty good. I love it. It's the Seinfeld inspiration because, you know, it's on the famous Seinfeld episode, he gets the call and he says, oh, no, you know, this is not a good time. Can you give me your personal number, and I will call you at home tonight after work? Oh, you don't want to give me your personal number? Now you know how I feel. Okay, I've done that a couple times too. Because you ask someone for their home number on the phone, a telemarketer, and they're like, get them all
flustered. I'm not giving you my home number.
I'm not giving you my home number. Well, now you know how I feel. Stop calling.
Right, leave me alone.
But at least I connected with that guy.
That is awesome.
That one guy in Pakistan. So,
I called America, and he was a very nice man. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV at in Glenview. The Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in app today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them up 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, shop where we shop. It's apt, A-B-D. App.com, pleasing people since 1936. Take a quick time out. We'll be right back to the Ranger, Chris Ranji.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
Kicking that around, though, since he's had a bit of a layoff, we could possibly have Chris, you know, get an extra day and go in there. Chris has been pitching well, and I know just pitches and innings have been piling up because he's been pitching so well. So it has nothing to do with him physically. It's just being able to give him that extra day, which is, you know, when we've done it for him, it's been nice for him. I think he's, sounds crazy, but he's always bounced back and pitched maybe a little better. I don't, you know, that probably sounds odd, but he's looked stronger and fresher when he gets an extra day.
That's Rockin' Robin, Robin Ventura, the embattled White Sox manager, fresh off of two straight wins in St. Louis, talking about Chris Sale. 312-235-2525 is our number. The Cap and Haw Show. You're watching live on Comcast Sportsnet and listening on WGN Plus as well. Our buddy the Ranger, he's Chris Ranji, White Sox pre- and post-game host, joins us now. Ranger, good morning. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Good, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing very well. Let's talk about Robin Ventura and the way things have gone. It's been a rough, rough year. What's your take on Robin and his role in where this thing sits as it does right now?
Well, I have a bit of a different philosophy about managers in general, and I'm sure you guys already know how I feel about it. I think people give them too much credit, and I generally give them too much credit and also too much criticism. I mean, I think he makes mistakes. I don't think he's perfect. I don't think he's a great manager. I also don't think he's a terrible one. I think he's just like most. And I think what happens is you start to play poorly. You have a lot of guys in your team that don't hit well, like this team is doing here. And then people start to pay attention to you. And they pay attention to every single move you make, and every one that doesn't work is a stupid one. And then people tend to, I think, blow that up. But every manager screws up, and I think every manager screws up quite a bit, with the exception of a few. There are a few every year that are just – that are exceptional, but I don't think it's that many. And I believe that most are pretty mediocre, and I think Robin is in there. I don't think he hurts them. I don't think he helps them any more than most guys would, just like – most managers, I believe that he's right there about in the middle. And I think it kind of started last year when the bullpen was terrible. And what happens is when you don't have any relievers that you can go to, every time you go to a reliever and that guy gives up runs, people look at you for putting him out there. And when that happens, people tend to think it's your fault for doing that. But last year he had two relievers that were capable, and everybody else was really not. So I think that's kind of where it started. But honestly, I think he's about like everybody else. I don't think he does anything out of the ordinary. I don't think he does anything exceptional. And I don't think he does anything worse than most guys do.
Fair enough, Chris. But I think, wouldn't you acknowledge that to suggest that managers have little to no impact on games is a difficult argument to make in the city of Chicago, where you see on the north side that Joe Maddon, we can debate this if you want, but he has had a tremendous impact on creating a culture that has been conducive to winning, and that his arrival has coincided with a lot of players starting to make that climb. And maybe it's because of the players, and that's not giving them enough credit. But
and adjusting to the big leagues quickly.
I just don't think you can diminish the impact of a manager like a Joe Maddon with the Cubs and make the argument that managers can have no or little impact on a team.
Well, there are a couple of things there. Maybe we're talking about one of the exceptional ones. You know, I think there are. I think you would say that about him when he was in Tampa Bay. But then again, Tampa Bay is winning this year, too, without him. And last year when he was there, they had 72 wins. So you would look at that and say, well, they had a bunch of injuries last year, so it's not his fault. Well, that's exactly my point. I think that what happens in baseball is this more than anything else is roster-driven. It's not the NFL. You're not calling plays every single down. It's not basketball where you're doing pretty much the same thing. It's baseball's different. It's a team sport that is not like any other. And I think that Maddon probably is an exceptional manager, and I think we've gotten evidence of that over the last few years. But how much of that really is him? And how much of it is, I mean, he's got a lot of guys who are struggling right now. But, yeah, that's a good roster. And I think that we're probably minimizing how good the roster actually is. And that maybe it's a little bit better than we thought. And maybe they will move along a little bit quickly. And maybe he does deserve a little bit of credit for that. But I don't know how you measure it. I mean, I've heard, you know, Cap and I have talked about this off the air, that inside that clubhouse, it's a great atmosphere. And I don't think the White Sox clubhouse is a terrible one, but I'm not sure that necessarily starts with him like a lot of people believe. I think it can happen. I think that Maddon, like, you know, we're talking here, is an exceptional manager probably. But I don't know that it is. I think it's giving a manager too much credit to put all of that on him.
And they do receive too much credit and too much blame. I will agree with you there. I think most coaches in all sports. But there's also something to be said at times for change, for the sake of change, for a franchise and a team that has been the second worst in baseball since 2013.
Yeah, let me piggyback. If you go back all the way to middle of 2012, Sox had a great start to that season.
It was a great summer.
And the last 6 weeks, completely tanked. Don't make the playoffs. And then, as David said, since opening day 2013, if you go another 3 weeks – the Astros are only four ahead of you for that dubious distinction. Sox will be the worst team in baseball from that point on. How do you justify keeping the guy?
Well, I mean, I know that's the way of sports. I'm not really trying to lobby for his job, to be perfectly honest. I don't have a vested interest in it. I like him. Personally, I like him. But, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I just want that team to do well. And if I really thought that a change there would make all the difference in the world, or make a significant difference even, then I would be all for it. But here's what I think would happen. I think they could make a change there, or they could make some other kind of coaching change, and then everything would go on just as it's going on anyway. I mean, I mean, you've got a lot of guys who are now starting to hit. I don't think that Robin Ventura is making Melky Cabrera suddenly start to hit. And I don't think that he's making Adam Eaton start to hit. I think those guys are finally just working their way out of it, which is how it pretty much has been every single year in baseball's existence. That's what guys do. If they're in slumps to start a year, they work themselves out of it. So, I mean, they can make a change, and they probably will, I guess. I mean, I don't really know that for sure, but I'm thinking if it continues the way it does, just like any other team does, they'll probably make some kind of change. But I think that people should be careful in how much they expect to be different after that, because I don't think it's going to make a ton of difference. I mean, the only thing that's really going to work for them, it's going to be one of a couple of things, and maybe a combination of the two. Guys who are brought in that have track records to start doing their jobs, or roster changes. And you might see that going into next season. You might see a little bit of it this year prior to the trade deadline, but they don't have a whole lot of guys that are worth much, with the exception of Abreu and Chris Sale. And I don't know how interested they are in trading either of those two guys. But if they're looking for a return as far as minor league prospects, they're not going to get anything for anybody else on that roster right now. So a lot of these changes might have to happen in the offseason. But that's not to say there won't be, prior to the season ending, some coaching changes or maybe right even at the top.
Now, in your defense of your position, the Milwaukee Brewers, who were a really good team most of last year, start the season awful and finished last year awful. Under Craig Counsell, they were 7-18. They pulled the plug on Ron Renicki. They are five games under 500 on Craig Counsell. So,
and the Marlins haven't been any better with Jennings.
Correct. So there they went from one, you know, not elite manager to another not elite manager. And maybe it's not the manager as much as the talent isn't there. So that supports your position. But if you do get one of the elite guys, Joe Girardi, Mike Socia, Bruce Bochy, Joe Maddon, boy, those guys certainly seem to command a locker room or change a culture the way it's being done on the north side. Agreed?
Yeah, I think so. But I also think it's tough to – I think it's difficult to quantify just how much that matters. And that doesn't mean it's not it, – it doesn't mean it doesn't matter at all, but I'm saying if we're going to invest so much energy in making that argument, I'd like to know just how much that matters, because it's the same sort of argument as you need a clubhouse leader. Well, I don't think every team has a true clubhouse leader, and I don't think that it's necessarily true that every good team has one. Some teams do. Some teams have a vocal guy. Some teams have a guy who leads by example. Some teams might have a couple of those guys. But again, quantify that. How much does it really, truly matter? I can't make the argument that it doesn't matter because you can't quantify it, but I don't know. I have a problem wasting a ton of time making that the reason the team isn't winning, that they don't have a clubhouse leader or that their manager is not good enough, because there is so much evidence to suggest that, well, you know, here's a clubhouse that has a good team leader and they're not doing any better. And you mentioned the two guys, you mentioned Milwaukee. They're not doing any better. And I mentioned the Rays last year, and they had a great manager last year, and they had 72 wins. I think that people don't put – it's funny because I've had some score callers that will and one guy suggests, you know, all you ever do is put blame on players. Well, yeah, because they're the guys that do it. The Sox have about 2,800 plate appearances this year, and there's potential to score on every single plate appearance. So to look at a manager and one decision that he might make in a game as the thing that won them or lost them the game, I think is kind of ridiculous, because there might be 60 to 70 other plate appearances in that game where your offense can score for you on every single pitch. And I think it's totally minimizing the effect that players have.
So Chris,
sure, the manager might have some, but I don't think it's nearly as significant as people believe.
So, Chris, shifting from managers to pitching coaches. So yesterday you had a pretty interesting conversation with Don Cooper before the game.
I always do.
You always do. I love Coop. I love what he brings. I think people appreciate his candor. And yet I think that the way that he described his dissatisfaction maybe with Sox fans' support of Chris Sale was maybe it bothered some Sox fans. I think you'll hear from them during your next postgame show, if not sooner. How would you describe what Coop said about Sox fans and what was the total context, so we don't take it out of context?
Well, I think Coop he's said those sorts of things a lot over the years. And basically it's a frustration that a lot of people don't come to the ballpark, or as many as they think should. Now, I understand this year is completely different, and this is probably not the season to demand that people show up, because it's been tough. But I think it really kind of goes back more to 2012 and the season that you guys brought up earlier, when they were in first place for about 115, 116 days, maybe it was 117, and they were struggling to get people in the ballpark. And I had a lot of callers into the score that were, you know, they're going to lose this division anyway, so I'm not going to go, which is, you know, they did wind up doing that. But as a fan, I think your job would be to just kind of just go. I mean, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they don't win the division, but enjoy the ride until they don't, because maybe they do. And I think that was kind of the frustration, and that seemed to be the real boiling point for a lot of people. They were, at the time, I think there were a lot of people down there that were pretty upset that nobody was coming to watch them, and they were in first place for as long as they were. I think that's all it is. He just wants people to come out and watch. And again, maybe this isn't the year to say something like that just because of how bad it's been. But I think this is frustration that goes back a few years. But then again, at the same time, fans are also frustrated because they've been to the postseason once since 2005. And, you know, we expect better than that. So I do get it from both sides.
Ranger, appreciate the time. Hang on, we're going to send you a Lou Malnati so you can have some pizza on us, okay?
Thanks, Chris.
Right now?
Yeah, we can get it delivered to you. Whatever you want,
whatever
buddy.
Whatever you want.
So hang.
All right, well, I'm about four and a half hours south, so.
They deliver.
Just share it with Coop. He sounded a little grumpy.
No, I want Cap to bring it down.
You got it. I'll drive it down there. My car's quick.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Hang on. We'll get your address. And again, thanks again to Chris Ranji, who does great work on White Sox pre-post on the White
patience
Sox
of Job.
Radio Network. He does have a lot of patience. I've done that job on the other side of town.
It's a tough one.
Let me tell you, there are nights, man, when your team's up the track, you're like, okay, do we really want to just blast ownership, management, everything else for 3 hours?
And let's just say
all
this.
All the callers do.
That's a good example, I think, of him articulating a point of view that we don't necessarily agree with, and I don't agree with necessarily about the impact of a manager. And he expressed himself in a real smart way.
Lucid, clear thinking.
And I respect his point of view. You can have that kind of conversation with somebody without actually demeaning them or screaming at them.
Correct.
So.
All right. Hey, from Sox to Magic.
Magic.
Simon will join us next.
I'm looking forward to this. The magician.
Simon Winthrop, the magician who has 2-0 as the Cubs magician. He will be with us
Cubs
next.
He made the Cubs' troubles disappear.
It's magic, as Anthony Rizzo said last time when he stole third. Cap'n Hall brought to you by Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They won the largest verdict for a brain injury in Illinois history. They have the largest verdict for a back injury in Illinois history. And the largest verdict for a neck injury in Illinois history. That's the triple crown of lawyering. Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates. These guys win. Time out. Be right back.
This is the Cap'n Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
Took a crinkled soda can empty, demonstrated that it was empty. Then he held it out, put his finger underneath, and all of a sudden the crinkle started coming out.
Yeah.
Then he went around the top of it, it resealed itself, and gave it to me to open up, and it did when it pssst.
Yeah.
And then he poured the soda out into a cup, like right there. That was like one of the coolest things ever. I mean,
yeah.
That was one of the best I've seen. So anyway, he was that good.
Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart?
That was Joe Madden, Cool Joe, talking about Simon Winthrop, the magician that he's friends with, he said, and that he hired to come in and perform for the Cubs, and they're 2-0 since the Magic Man.
So he can stay.
Hung out. They haven't scored a lot, but they haven't given any runs
up. Will
he
be coming back to Chicago with the team?
I hope he does.
He can just teleport himself here?
Whatever it takes.
Poof. Abracadabra,
how'd you
I'm
get
at
here?
Wrigley Field.
What is he, like a State Farm guy? Anyway, his name is Simon Winthrop. He is the magic man that the Cubs hired last night. SimonWinthrop.com is his website. Yesterday, Anthony Rizzo steals third with a great slide, evades the tag, and then looks up and says to the team after the review goes his way, it's magic. Simon, thank you for taking time. How you doing?
Morning, Simon.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing very well. So, how did this whole thing come about where you got to perform for the Chicago Cubs?
So first of all, it was really awesome that you guys gave me a call. Thank you so much, number one. Number two, the one thing that you left out in the little blip, we've got when Joe Madden's explaining that,
yep,
was the explosive energy of the room, where the room just basically erupted. So the Coke can or soda can, whatever it was just laying like near a trash can, crumpled up, and picked it up, waved my hand over it, and all of a sudden, the Coke can completely resealed itself, and I said, the room started just kind of vibrating. The whole the whole room was just like, no, 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 no. And then I looked at Joe. So there was there were a couple other people that wanted to try to grab at the camp. I looked Joe. I looked Joe right in the eye. I said, no, you. And you do it. And Joe looked at me with that, you know, he's got that endearing, amazing energy when he looks at you. And he just looked at me, looked at the can, went straight for it, opened it up, the whole, and then, you know, you heard the sound as the can opened up, and all of a sudden, the whole room erupted. And then, to top it off, there was Manny Ramirez's kids were there, and the kid said, can I drink that? And I took the can and turned it over, and out came the Coca-Cola or Pepsi or whatever it was, and the kid drank it, and the room just went crazy because they thought there's no possible way.
Oh, that's great. And we appreciate you doing this interview considering you're underwater and in chains. So thanks very much. How would you describe?
I'm actually in Vegas. So the guy flew me down. Basically, I got a call a few days ago. The traveling secretary is awesome. His name is VJ.
VJ Tekandani. He's a good friend of mine.
Oh, isn't he the best?
VJ is really, the greatest.
VJ literally knew within 30 seconds or so that this was going to happen. And he basically said, you know, we want to bring some magic to the team. Are you available tomorrow? And I was in Vegas and just got back from shows in Los Angeles. I basically travel around the world for high-end clients and amazing corporations that bring me in to entertain their VIPs. And VJ's said, you know, what do we have to do to get you in here tomorrow? And I said, I'll make it happen. And so I'm from Chicago originally, but I went to school at Maine East long time ago.
Goodness, in Park Ridge.
Yeah. And grew up in Morton Grove. And
I grew up in Skokie. We're like neighbors, man.
Yeah. So thanks so much. What made you guys think about me?
Well, because if we think that this was such a big deal for the Cubs, and I think they got such a kick out of it, Simon, and they seem to be a team that needed a break from the routine. They needed to break up the monotony, and you seem to have at least, and they haven't lost since you appeared. So I think you went poof, and everything disappeared for the Cubs. All their troubles went away.
I know. Is that crazy? I've been getting phone calls and emails and texts from all over, and everyone's like, oh, they won another game. And people are going crazy. My friends from Chicago. So it was really awesome, awesome.
Did they find you? How did VJ find you? Had you performed for Joe before?
VJ is the man, and Joe is the man. Those guys are the best. I really am so happy that they thought about me this time.
Besides the Cubs, what other high-end clients have you entertained?
So on my website, simonwinthrop.com, or if you Google Magician Las Vegas, you'll see a bunch of great promo pictures of me and major celebrities. And then there's a videos page. And so on the photos page with the celebrities, that's Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jack Nicholson, Tom Cruise, etc. But on the videos page, I happen to have a really amazing video of Bill Clinton and Hillary had a birthday party in Vegas, and for one of their loved ones, and they had brought me in. And so I'm standing in front of Chelsea and Hillary, and if you go to my website, you'll see the actual video, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the pictures right now. I mean, Robin Williams, may rest in peace. Arnold Schwarzenegger, as you said, Nicholson. There's you with Hillary, Chelsea, and Bill Clinton. I mean, this is just unbelievable.
Thank you. So on the video, basically, I'll tell you real short, I grab Bill's hand. I grab Bill's wrist. I mean, there's no editing on this. I grab Bill's hand, and I grab Chelsea's hand, and I say, hey, do you feel something? And all of a sudden, her watch is gone, and I said, open up your hand, and it's in Bill's hand. Her watch is in Bill's hand, and he's like, how did it get there? Which I actually did that trick for the Cubs in the room. So I grabbed somebody's hand, and all of a sudden, their watch was gone, and the room just erupted again. It was really an amazing 15 or 20 minutes of high energy and fun.
Before we let you go, what will you remember most about that experience? Because I think you left an impression on many memories of Cub players and managers, but what will you take away from that?
You know what? When Madden and the team won the game, that was it for me.
Did you stay for the game?
I did. They invited me. They got me amazing seats, and I saw the score, and I was like, "That's it!" And I was super, super happy.
All right, I got to ask you. One of the pictures you have is you with Noriyuki Pat Morita, Mr. Miyagi from the Karate Kid movies.
Yeah.
What was he like? That guy's one of my he's deceased now, but he's was one of my favorite actors. I just thought he was the coolest guy out there.
Story. Pat Morita, may rest in peace, was amazing, amazing guy. Here's two quick stories. So I'm in the Bellagio in Vegas, and the first time I met Pat Morita, it was a VIP party, and I was entertaining at the room. And you know, at first when you look at him, office. He had that look where, you know, you didn't know if you were going to get your ass whooped with some karate, but he was actually an amazing, fun stand-up comedian. So I'm in the room, and all of a sudden, I think it was the sushi restaurant or the teppanyaki restaurant a bunch of years ago back at the Bellagio, and it's a big VIP crowd, and they've hired me to entertain. And so I'm doing the whole show, and all of a sudden, at the end of the evening, I saved one of the best for last, and I said to the chef, you know, the chef is standing right there. He's got all the vegetables and the, you know, and they cook it right on the steak, right on the grill. So I see an egg because Pat Morita is starting to do tricks with an egg. He's like, you know, he's trying to outdo me or we're just having like fun. Both of us are doing, you know, a few tricks. So he takes an egg, puts it in a shot glass, grabs another shot glass, and he blows really hard at the egg, and the egg jumped out of the shot glass and into the shot glass right next to it, and I was blown away. The whole room was blown away. Now you can imagine the entire restaurant is now wrapped around our table, and the people are going completely bonkers. I had no idea how Pat did it, so I figured, well, I got to blow him away because I'm the professional illusionist, right? So I said, Pat, can I see that egg? Is that a real egg? How'd you do that? And then I go ahead and I grab the egg, and I take it, and I whip it down to break it in half right on the hot grill. All of a sudden, a live baby duck, appears out of the middle of the egg. And this, I'm not proud about this, and I hope the ASPCA doesn't get me in trouble for this. But accidentally, when the duck was running away, it went. This isn't even funny. The duck went onto the walked onto the grill. You know, it was such high energy. I didn't think about it, and I felt really badly. And the duck went walking onto the grill and went wah, 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 and came all the way back. And the whole room just went insane. I got some ice water for the poor baby duck. The duck is still alive.
That's great.
In Calabasas, California, and his name is Lucky. And that's my Pat Morita story.
Wow. Simon, thanks so much.
Unbelievable. Simon, you're the man.
That's
Hope you
great.
Get to Chicago. We'd love to get you in the studio.
We'll see you in the playoffs.
Okay, thank you. Stay in touch. Send me your information, and I'll let you guys know when I do another gig in Chicago.
We'll
I was there last week for a client. Thanks so much.
Hey, if you're performing in Vegas, are you like open to the public? Like where?
Yeah. Well, mostly the casinos hire me for high-end corporate private parties and VIP and celebrity events, like when they have $1 million blackjack tournament. So it's kind of private, but every now and again, I do some public shows, and you can check up my schedule or stay in contact at simonwinthrop.com.
You're the best.
Thanks, Simon.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys.
See you, buddy. Bye. Take care. That guy's hilarious.
Great.
So Mike's in my ear going, you like Pat Morita? He was in like one movie. Pat Morita was in like 100 movies. He had a recurring role on Happy Days, but you're only like 14 years old, so you wouldn't even remember that show.
Mr. Arnold.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
That's Mr. Arnold.
That's exactly right. Arnold Takahashi was his name.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Fonzie's guy.
Exactly.
Gotta love that.
He was phenomenal. I loved Mr. Miyagi. in Karate Kid.
Simon was funny. Simon was a good guest.
Mikey, that was awesome, man. Great get.
Good stuff.
All right, we got to take a time out. Little page two real quick?
Sure.
Okay, little page two. We'll be right back. This is Cabin Hop brought to you by Horwitz and Horwitz Law Firm.
We're desperate for stories, and this one is so compelling.
This is page two.
All right, welcome back, Kevin Hawk. Homestretch Comcast Sports. That D-Hall will not be here tomorrow or at all next week. Going on a little vacay. Mark Carmen will be in with us tomorrow.
Yeah, and you guys have a nice guest tomorrow.
Yeah, we have Jed Hoyer joining us at 10:25 tomorrow tomorrow morning.
That'll be good. Time to talk to old Jed.
I'm actually going on vacation next Thursday.
Yeah.
She'll be back the following week while I'm gone.
Yeah, we'll get through this month of July.
Absolutely.
So looking at big story nationally, internationally, Women's World Cup. I know that's not your thing, but it is a big deal.
But it's a big thing because it's our country.
It is our country. U.S. is in the final on Sunday. They will play Japan. And Japan got there by virtue of one of the oddest things you'll ever see.
Yeah, girl put in her own net.
England lost when Laura Barrett, during extra time, stoppage time, as they say, I'm sorry, Laura Bassett. Laura Bassett scored into her own net during the second half of stoppage time. That poor young woman, because you have to return home, you go back to England, and you are the main reason why the Women's World Cup team in a country that worships soccer, football, as they call it abroad, is not in the final. That's got to be difficult to take. And I thought everyone was could learn something from how the coach handled it, because the coach for the English team really handled himself, just handled it in a way that was impressive. I mean, she was inconsolable, or you couldn't really
say at least she's not anything. Playing for the Colombian national team. They would have her shot.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that what they did to the guy?
Yeah.
In the World Cup many years ago, they killed the guy who put it in his own net.
You saw that happen. It hit she kicked the ball, hit the crossbar, bounced past the goalie, lay there on the ground, and after it was over, awful, awful circumstance, and you hope that everyone in England has a little perspective here. But Japan wins, plays the U.S. on Sunday, I believe, and that could be, Sunday could be a big deal. There's a watch party in Lincoln Park, according to the Tribune. It will beginning at 3 p.m. in Lincoln Park near Stockton and LaSalle, just south of Lincoln Park Zoo. So big deal on Sunday, Women's World Cup.
By the way, breaking news, Ben Bishop has been upgraded from critical to serious condition. Just thought I'd let you know that. Also, Bart Roberts on Twitter. Great show today, guys. Awesome to see a Ball State helmet in the back of the studio.
Oh, yeah. Go Cards.
Another guy that couldn't get into Purdue. 312-235-2525 is our phone number. Put that on your speed dial. How about this recruiting story? According to a video by Sports 360 Arizona, Jim Harbaugh, then the coach at Stanford, was visiting Trent Murphy, now a linebacker for the Washington Redskins, when Trent's mother went into labor. The family quickly rushed to the hospital, except for Harbaugh and his then assistant DJ Durkin, who stayed behind to take care. I think he works for the Score now, who stayed behind to take care of the other children in the family. One of those children, 8-year-old Connor Murphy, 8 years old, followed in his brother's footsteps and has bloomed into one of the best defensive players in the country. According to the Detroit Free Press, not many people could say they sat down on the living room floor with Jim Harbaugh and DJ Durkin and played chess and drank milk with them. Connor is now 6'7", 255, being recruited by Michigan.
How about that?
Isn't that awesome?
Speaking of Harbaugh, did you see the Colin Cowherd interview yesterday?
I haven't watched it. I heard it's bizarre.
A little awkward, a little bizarre.
That's what I heard.
Hung up on him basically, or basically got him off the air pretty quickly. Two very, different polarizing personalities. What's that?
Good luck to Jen Latta.
Yeah, that's Jen's
next Colin
co-worker.
By the way, again, Jen has not found her dog yet. We ran the picture on Sports Talk Live. If you find a dog in the Hamlin Park area, north side of our great city, dog's name is Wrigley. Jen Latta is missing her dog.
They had a lead. they had a lead that there was somebody had was walking a dog that fit the description toward an animal hospital last night, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they should put that out there on Twitter.
Good.
So you hope that for the best for everybody. See what your Sacramento Kings are up to? You know, to make everything right.
Just cleaning house.
The future of whatever, you know, will be for DeMarcus Cousins and company. They drafted Nick Stauskas last year, and he was compared favorably to Doug McDermott, right? Remember, that was sort of, there were some people in Chicago that thought that Nick Stauskas would be a good fit with the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
He gets traded.
To Philly.
After a rookie year, he gets traded. 76ers take advantage of a Sacramento salary dump. What are they clearing money for? Do they know what they're doing out there?
It doesn't sound like they do.
Nick Stauskas is now a 76er and probably, I don't want to say he's happy about leaving Sacramento. I don't know how he feels. He's going to a team that's really been bad lately. But it sounds like anybody leaving Sacramento at this point, given the two different sort of agendas being served in the front office, would be glad about it. So they dump first-round pick Nick Stauskas to the Sixers. A couple other moves, a couple other players involved in that deal. I don't know what the direction they're headed, but you wonder who's going to end up coaching that team, George Karl, and what will they do with DeMarcus Cousins.
All right, last one. Tiger Woods was allegedly cheating on Lindsey Vonn with Jason Duffner's ex-wife, Amanda Duffner.
You can't say every word in this story.
According to Radar Online and the National Enquirer, Duffner and Amanda Duffner, now Amanda Boyd, ended their marriage quickly in April, citing an irretrievable breakdown of the marriage. More from the reports, even though Tiger dated Lindsey for a long time, he had a thing for Amanda, a source told the Enquirer, who has broken many stories on Woods' philandering. At first, it was just innocent flirting, but earlier this year, it became serious. According to the source, Woods and Boyd have been carrying on a steamy affair for months. Amanda is gorgeous. She's known as a big flirt with the other players on the PGA Tour, said another insider. I guess her flirty ways and good looks caught Tiger's eye. But when Jason Duffner found out his ex had been with Tiger, adds the source, he was devastated. Tiger Woods agent Mark Steinberg, putting out a statement to Fox News, says rumors are a complete lie, calling them absolutely 100% false.
Wow. Complete lie. That pretty much leaves no doubt that he thinks that this is totally false. So the website committed or devoted to Tiger Woods and his philandering off this story, no longer, are they taking that down too?
No.
No, they leave it up there.
This is also the same Mark Steinberg who denied to the Enquirer that Tiger was having an affair with a waitress from Perkins until they produced DNA evidence.
Well, I'm glad. I can sleep now.
You have a great vacation.
All right, you too.
You will be missed while you're gone. Then I will be gone.
And
so I'll see you in a couple weeks.
You'll be missed while you're gone. Let me say that now.
There you go.
All right.
See you in a couple weeks. Have fun.
Yeah, you too.
For David, I'm Cap. Have a wonderful day. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Well, see you later.